Thank you, Bob, and thank all of you again for our privilege of being here. I'd like to just talk a little bit about missions and being involved in missions, right? I personally want to say that there are five missionaries here today as far as what we call people in full-time missionary ministry. There's two different concepts of the word missionary. There's a general concept in which every Christian is a sent one. We're all that kind of missionary to the world representing the Lord who sent us. But there are the special word missionary that we use, and that's people who've basically given their whole life to the ministry. And that is Amy and I, ourselves, and Nathan and Crystal, and Josh and Laura Locke, and Bob and Marcia. And, of course, they're part of BMW, too. And so they kind of, and then David and Son are full-time ministry for that. And we do have needs. But I'd like to say that finances is not the primary need. The primary need is prayer. And our mission is really trying to emphasize the concept of prayer. Many of you, and I'd say most of you, will never go overseas or to another city or town as a missionary, right? But you can be as much a missionary involved in missions as the missionaries who go. We like to compare the thing to the fact like it would be a war. We're at war for the souls of men, right? And all the missionaries that are here and other missionaries that are supported are, they're sent as ground troops. The ground troops are important, right? But I can tell you this, in our modern day war, our ground troops would not survive without some air troops. And we believe that prayer of each one of you can be the air force or the prayer force for us as missionaries. We are convinced that that is as important a part of missions work as we ground troop people. And if we have enough air support, prayer support, that's the word we call air support, if we have enough prayer support, actually sometimes the ground troops work is very simple. It's done for us. I know that when some of the Gulf Wars, we know it, when our ground troops finally got to the first troops of Iraq, the Iraqi troops had their hands up. And that was because of what? The Air Force, the prayer force, right? Our prayer force is what we need. Now, our mission has set a goal. Our goal in the next 5 years is to try to raise up 50,000 people that will be praying for somebody in our mission every day. And that means that our goal initially is that every missionary would like to see them get 300 people praying for them every day. Would that be good? So how many of the missionaries here need that prayer? All of you. All of us do, right? My wife and I have decided that we will not try to get 300. Because right now we already have 385. And we're going to shoot for 500. That will help some of those who don't get the 300, that we're going to have some extra ones. And so we're looking for that. I don't know whether some of the rest of them have the prayer things like this, but we have. I could loan them some of mine, but they have my name on them. And that means if you sign up, you'd be praying for us. But this is the way you sign up to pray for us. You pick up one of these back there, and on the back, it asks you to fill out all your information, which includes your name, address, your phone number, and your email address. And if you have Facebook or Twitter or anything, that. And then our goal is to keep you up to date by email and Facebook, especially and Twitter, so that you keep getting reminded. I try to put something on Facebook almost every day so that you would see my name and have some reminder to pray for us. And I try to put out at least one email at the beginning of the month, and I try to put out one or two other or three other emails during the month to remind people to pray. But these are back there, and I would encourage you to do that. And if some of the others don't have any, ask them to mail you one, or ask them how they can sign up without having one of these. But this is good. Also, God has given, He always gives us new ideas, right? And we found out that there's another item of war that we need in carry out a good war. And so we are now getting ready. By the end of April, we will send out invitations to people who will become part of our special forces. Well, we need special forces, right? And our special force teams, we're going to call them the Minutemen. That's men and women are still Minutemen. And Minutemen will people who committed, I will pray for any request BMW sends me by email the moment I get it. And so the Minutemen will be a receiving prayer request. Among our mission, we send out what we call our prayer spots. And that every missionary, when he has a real prayer need, sends it to me, and I forward it to everybody in the mission. I will automatically forward it to the Minutemen. And they will be the Special Forces prayer team, right? And that's part of what we're doing. So we're convinced that prayer is the most important thing. And I'd say this, finances are always good, right? But we don't depend on people for finances. We depend on God. And God lays it on the heart of people to give the finances. But we do depend on you for prayer. So that's our comment. And that's our, so would you like to be a part of missions? Would you like to be really a part of missions? Then sign up to pray. And I suggest today it would not hurt to sign up to pray for five different ones every day. Would that be too much? Once you can remember one, you can remember the other four, right? And pray for all five of us, or five couples. That's 10 people, right? And that would be great. So let me encourage you to assume responsibility to be a part of God's mission work around the world through being a member of the prayer force for those who are the ground troops. Let me encourage you to do that. Turn back to Daniel chapter 1 again. That's all I was going to do about our ministry and work. That's okay, because I want to spend time in the Word. And you probably noticed that those of you who've heard me preach or anything, I don't preach a long time. I just try to get the point across as soon as I can. And then I want to leave it with you. So I don't know how long it's going to take me to do that, but that's what I'm going to spend my time doing. So Daniel, you remember, Daniel was in a small group of people that was taken captive and then tested out and became one of the leaders of the kingdom. But the thing that I'd like you to think about, I think as Christians, we believe that we're saved, we're the people of God, right? And we believe that God is the Lord and King of our lives. Is that right? So I believe that what each one of us have done at some time, whether you realized how much you did it, we have said to the Lord, we will stay true to you and never waver in our commitment. Right? We want to be wholly and truly committed to God all the time without wavering from that. Is that right? Is that what we want to do? Now let me ask you this. If we ever say that to God, once we say it, from then on it's just like nothing's wrong. We never waver, right? That'd be nice, right? You mean sometimes we waver? Sometimes we struggle with it? Yeah. You know, I used to bother me because I could figure out, well, why do I struggle with it? I mean, do all these other Christians, they have any problems? And you know what I found out? They all do. In fact, all of you do. Is that right? We all do. So I decided, let me see now. There were a lot of people in the Bible who were people of God, right? So I began to study them, and I found out that almost every one of them had problems, didn't they? They struggle with it. I said, well, what's wrong? And then I found some of them, especially one, who never wavered from that commitment. Never any indication in his whole life that he wasn't standing true to God. Is that right? That's Daniel. And I was amazed. I mean, I know Jesus Christ was always true, but he's God. But most of us as people struggle, but then I find Daniel who didn't struggle that much or something. He stayed it. He made it, right? Then I asked this question, is Daniel better than everybody in the world? Is he a better man than anybody? Or is he a man like us? The answer is he is a man like us, right? But he didn't waver. And I said, well, Lord, show me how he did it. Because if I can figure out how he did it, then guess what? I may learn to do the same way, right? So remember, he said in verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Daniel had purpose, and that the construction there doesn't mean he just suddenly decided to do it. He had already done it earlier in his life. Daniel had made a commitment to stay true to God at all times and never allow anything to come between him and God. That's a good commitment, isn't it? But you know, I made that commitment. Did you? And then what happened? We wavered, right? We had some problems. And I said, well, God, show me what Daniel did. What made him different? And I'd like to share with you two experiences out of the book of Daniel that show what Daniel did that made the difference. And then I challenge you, you may come up with something just as good. But what Daniel did worked. And I haven't found very many people that have tried other things that worked. So I'm suggesting maybe we could try what Daniel did. And that's a good idea. So basically, I want to look at two stories in Daniel's life. The first one is in Daniel chapter 6. And I want to do this one first because that's one we always think about at first. Now, I could read all of Daniel chapter 6 to get the story, but I'm going to try to tell you the story and then supplement the story that I tell you with some of the verses, okay? In this passage, Daniel chapter 6, Darius was the king. And Darius was the king of a huge, huge area. And I don't know, if you have much responsibility, if they double your responsibility, what happens? And then if you had the responsibility of millions of people to be the ruler, you might feel overwhelmed, right? And Darius said, look, I've got a plan. I want to have a life. I want to be able to live my life and enjoy my life a little bit. So instead of being responsible for these millions and millions of people, I'm going to divide the kingdom up into 120 provinces and put a prince as a ruler over every province, so that now then I'm only responsible for 120 people and keep them straight, and then they can handle the rest of it. well, that's a good idea. And he tried it, and he said, you know, that really works. I think I'll try another step. So he divided the 120 up into 40 apiece and put a ruler, a president, over each of the 40. So that means now then, each president had 40 princes that ruled 40 provinces, and each president had 40, and that means that Darius only had 3. But he said, you know, it works so good, I'd like to put one man over those 3, and then all I got is just let it go and watch them, and it'll be fine. So he picked the best man he could find to be over the 3 presidents. And his name was who? Daniel. And Daniel was actually one of the 3 presidents, but he was over the other 2. So basically what he said is, I can trust Daniel because I know he's faithful, right? And so he turned it over to Daniel, and Daniel ruled the presidents and the princes over the whole thing, all 120 provinces. Now, that was a pretty good plan that Darius had. The only problem was that 122 men didn't like it. That's all 120 princes and the other 2 presidents. They didn't like the idea. Do you know why they didn't like it? What? You know, I used to think when I first read that they didn't like it because they wanted to be the one in Daniel's place. Actually, if that was true, they wouldn't work together. The truth was, they didn't care who was in Daniel's place as long as it wasn't Daniel. Did you know that? You know why they didn't want Daniel there? Because all of these other 122 men were basically selfish, and they wanted to get away with everything they could for themselves. And in order to do that, they had to get rid of Daniel, because Daniel wouldn't let them, because Daniel was totally faithful to the king, and he made sure you didn't get away with anything, right? So they were saying, we got to get rid of Daniel. Then I like what it says in verse 4. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now, how many people were trying to find fault with Daniel? 122 plus. Each one of these men had their staff, right? Down in verse 7, it says, presidents, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, all of these people, they all had their staff that worked for them, and they were all watching. I could have probably 500 or 600 men, right? And they were watching Daniel to find something wrong. And what did they find? Nothing. I could ask you this. How long would it take 500 men watching you to find something wrong? Something tells me, you know, Daniel had done something pretty good, right? So they came up with this plan. They said, we know Daniel is completely faithful to the king, right? But we know he is more faithful to his God. So our plan, they thought, well, our plan is we have to come up with something that the king requires that's contrary to what his God said, and Daniel's going to do which one? Daniel's going to be faithful to his God above everything else. So they came up with this plan. Now, are y'all all pretty intelligent people? I want you to listen as I read this and tell me what's wrong with the plan. Okay? Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto the king, unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast in the den of lions. What's wrong with that plan? If you were the king, would you have been able to spot what was wrong with that? Well, you know, remember, he wasn't one of God's people. So he would have been glad to be looked up to as a god, right? So what's wrong with the plan? I'm just checking to see. No, he doesn't know Daniel's God. That's a problem, but there is another problem politically. Huh? A time limit on it. Why 30 days? Right? I mean, if you're that great, king, live forever, you're the greatest thing that ever lived. That's what you're trying to say. And so we want everybody to pray to you and serve you for 30 days. Why 30 days? That would be my question, wouldn't you? But the king missed it. He was so proud of being looked up to by so great. These people fooled him, didn't they? They didn't look up to him to that great. They wanted to get rid of Daniel. Why? They could get away with anything they wanted if they got rid of Daniel. So now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed. You see, once he signed it, nobody could change it. Not even him. That was the law of their land. According to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, that story just leads up to what Daniel did. And it's important to notice. Look in verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And this is the important phrase. It really means something like this, just like he always did. Now, I want to tell you, Daniel, when he made his first purpose to stay true to God, he said, if I'm going to make that happen, I'm going to commit myself to spend time with my God 3 times every day. I'm not going to vary from that. So he had promised and committed that in order to stay true to God and never wavered, he would never waver from spending 3 times a day with his God. And that phrase doesn't mean, let me ask you this. How many of you pray 3 times a day? Most of us, how many of you eat 3 times a day? And how many of you pray for your food? Yep, so you pray 3 times a day, but that's not what this is talking about, right? It's talking about actually spending time with God. You see, if you read the history of Daniel and everything, Daniel was completely very, very understanding and of everything in the Word of God that had been written up to that time. He studied the Word of God. He spent time with God, reading His Word and talking to God and praying. And it was not just, Lord, bless me, or Lord, bless all my missionary friends, or what. He spent time with God. And how much time did he spend with God? Every day, 3 times. Now, you know, we could come up with a lot of reasons, but it doesn't tell us why he chose 3, does it? I wish I knew why he chose 3. And I cannot tell you what Daniel did of committing to 3 times a day, you have to commit to 3 times a day. But you have to commit to some times every day with God, right? And I don't think 3 would be a bad place to start. But if some of you are like me, there are some days 10 might be better, right? But Daniel said, three times every day. Now, as I said, I can't tell you it has to be three. Kind of. I always tell this, I can tell you exactly how many times a day you have to spend. Did you know that? How many of you would like for me to tell you exactly how many times a day you have to spend with God to keep yourself true? Would you like to know? Okay, here it is. Enough. Right? That's it. Enough. It's going to vary with each one of us. Sometimes what it has to be, but at least it'd be good, I think, to think about starting with how many? Three, right? Be a good start, right? So Daniel said, I'm going to be true to God and never waver and never let anything come between me and God and my walk with Him. And in order to help keep that true, I'm going to do what? I'm going to spend time with God, prayer and His Word and all that, three times every day. Is that a good place to start? Well, the thing about it is that Daniel said, but there's more. So turn back, if you would, to the second story I want to look at in Daniel chapter 2. I'm going to tell most of this story again. It's in the Bible. You can read it, and I'll look at some verses. But remember, in this verse, in this passage, it was when Nebuchadnezzar was king. And Nebuchadnezzar ruled entirely different. Nebuchadnezzar stayed the king, totally in charge of everything. But he trained and collected the best group of wise men that could be found so that if he had a problem or a responsibility, anything came up, he didn't worry about it long. He just called in the group of wise men on duty that time and let them handle it, right? And if there was a project or something need to be done somewhere in the kingdom, he didn't worry about going. He did what? He sent a wise man or a group of wise men to handle it. So he had his group of men. And I don't know how many he had, but it must have been a pretty good group of people, and they were pretty sharp. So that's the way he was ruling. Now, remember that everybody can't be on duty 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Is that right? You have to have some rest time. And then there are always people sent out on jobs for the wise men because that's the way he did it. So that didn't mean that if he called the wise men together, all of them weren't there. Right? I want you to understand that before we look at the story. So the story starts, Nebuchadnezzar goes to bed one night and he had a bad dream, which we might call what? A nightmare. And it scared him to death. So he got up as early as he could in the morning and called the wise men together and said, fellas, I have a problem. I dreamed a really bad dream. And I need you to tell me what it means, because I'm scared to death. And they said, we can do that. We're pretty good at that. We can interpret dreams. So just tell us the dream and we'll interpret it. And he said, I forgot it. I don't remember the dream. I just know I've dreamed and it was scared me. And they said, well, we can't interpret a dream if you don't even remember what it was. And he said, I thought I paid you to do anything I needed. And they said, well, we can't do that. And he said, well, you're going to have to. And I'm kind of telling the story, you see. And they finally said, we can't do it. And he said, well, something like this. I got all these wise men that I'm feeding and paying and housing and all this stuff so they can solve all my problems. And if you can't do it, I've got to get another bunch of wise men. I can't afford that many. So I have to get rid of the ones I got. And they didn't believe getting rid of them by firing them. You know, they chopped their heads off. And this one fellow, who was one of his servants. You might be called the number one head chopper offer. His name was Arioch. And Arioch, like all the other servants to the king, was one of Daniel's good friends, right? But the king called Arioch in and said, Arioch, I want you to go chop all the heads off the wise men. Now, I don't know why Daniel wasn't there, whether he wasn't on duty yet or out on the errand or what, but Arioch left to go do what? Chop the heads off the wise men. And as he darted out the door of the palace, who did he meet coming in? Daniel. And Daniel said, where are you going, Arioch? And Arioch said, what? Going to chop all the heads off the wise men. And Daniel thought, what? Wait a minute. What's the problem? You know, why the hurry? So Arioch explained what had happened, and Daniel said, take me to the king before you do this. Take me to the king, and let me ask the king to give me just a little time, and I will interpret the dream. So Arioch took him in, and Daniel said to the king, I will, if you'll give me just a little time, I'll come back and interpret the dream. All right? Now, just look at me and think of what you would say is the answer. What do you think is the first thing Daniel's going to do now? Pray. Everybody think Daniel's going to pray? That's not right. Look with me. In verse 15, he answered and said to Arioch the king, then, why is the decree so hasty? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. And then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and then he would show him, the king, the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Who? His companions. That's an important word. A companion is not just a friend. A companion is a person who is committed with you to the same thing you are, and you're committed to one another to keep all of you going on the same path, right? And Daniel, I believe, had said this, because this is what the testimony is. Not only did he say, I'm going to spend time with God three times every day, but he said what? I'm going to have three companions. Did you know that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and please, let's stop calling them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's their heathen names. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and they were committed to the same thing Daniel was. You know, I believe the Bible's inspired word of God, don't you? I never have read that the titles of the book were necessarily inspired, so I almost like to rename this one Daniel and His Companions. Because the book tells about Daniel staying true and what? The companions staying true. Because they were committed to God just like Daniel was, and they were committed to one another to make sure they all stayed on the same path. Now, most of us know it's important to spend time with God every day, right? But I think most of us have forgotten that it's just as important to spend time with some companions if we're going to stay true. I believe that God made us where we need one another. That's the reason He calls us members of the same body. Did you know your body members need the rest of the body members? Right? And we need one another. And every person that wants to stay true to God not only needs to spend time with God every day, but he needs some companions. Is that right? Do you think that's true of most of us as Christians, that we do that? Do most of us have companions? Really, most Christians don't. And I know some people say, well, does my wife count? Well, yes, in a way, but I think it's really good for women to have some women companions, and men to have men companions. Right? We need that. There's another thing about this that kind of amazed me, because not only did he's picked three times a day to spend with God, but he's picked how many companions? Three, right? I wish I could come up with a good idea. And I've thought up a lot of things, and maybe some, you know, the Trinity, all this stuff could be. But the most important thing is not necessarily whether it's three or not. Remember, how many times a day with God do you have to spend? Enough. How many companions do you need? Enough, right? Now, I really don't think there's a problem that three would not be a good place to start, right? So maybe that's where we want to think about it. But let me say this. How many of us really want to stay that true to God? Do we really want to stay true to God every day? Then we have to be willing to say, what am I going to do about it? Sometimes I ask a question like this. How many of you wives would like to have a 3 or 4 times better, closer, more fun, enjoyable relationship with your husband by this time next year than you have right now? Would that be great? Yeah? The question is, what's your plan? Because if you don't have a plan, it won't happen. Is that right? No matter how much you want to walk closer to the God in your everyday life, if you don't have a plan, and I can say it very plain, even though we recorded it, it ain't going to happen. Is that right? So, you better have a plan. Is that right? Not only do you have a plan, but you've got to what? Go by the plan, right? And I have a suggestion. There might be a good source for a good plan. Daniel had one. Why do you think his plan would be a good one? It worked, right? Have you ever known anybody else that had a plan that always worked? Not really. So I'm suggesting that maybe we should think about applying Daniel's plan to our life. Is that right? It's a simple plan. It means spending time with God every day and having companions. Daniel chose 3 time with God and 3 companions. That's not a bad place to start. But I can't tell you God said get 3. But I can say you better have enough times with God and enough companions, right? And the problem is that we even get companions sometime and then we just sort of neglect the time with them and the encouragement that we can have with them, right? And, you know, I really think we miss the point. We live in a day and age where we're all on the go a lot. Is that right? And it's hard to find time to spend with 3 people all the time. Is that right? But God has supplied a lot of ways. We got these things we call phones. That may not be as good as talking to them face to face, but it's better than not talking. And then he's given us email. Is that the best way in the world? It works. Facebook works. All I'm saying is that we need to commit ourselves to time with God every day and companions to keep us going. And we can encourage them and they can encourage us. So my challenge to you, is that something worth trying? My second challenge to you, when would be a good time to start? Yesterday? Right? You understand what I'm saying? Make sure that we commit ourselves, first of all, I'm still going to make the commitment. I want to stay true to God all my life and do everything I can not to waver. And I want to apply part of Daniel's plan. Time with God every day. He picked three. That might be a good place to start. And companions, he chose three. And what I'm thrilled about is I look at Daniel's life and I'm struck with the fact it worked. Can I try it? Should I try it? Or the most important, will I try it? Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the lesson you teach us through Daniel. And Lord, help us to be truly committed to you and willing to put into practice these practices of Daniel. Commit ourselves to spend time with you every day. And if you see fit to help us make it three times a day, and commit ourselves to companions that we are committed together to stay true in every area of our life. Father, help us to walk with you through time with you and time with companions. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.